If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
Yeah!
All right, I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Romain Vivian. So Romain is the strategic leader at Believe, believe.com. Which is like, talk about like a slam dunk of a domain name, like believe.com. That's like, gosh, that's gotta be one of the best domain names to own ever. So he oversees global music strategy and artist development. He helps to enhance independent artists and labels' careers over 50 countries. He's a music business worldwide veteran with over 3 decades of experience. It's about as many years as I've been alive. So it's amazing.
Don't mention it, please.
He is including roles at Virgin EMI, serving as the managing director of Capital France, and he's also an advocate to fairness in music. He's committed to building a healthier, more equitable music ecosystem that empowers artists through transparency and innovation, which is very needed, especially in the music industry. So, Romain, really appreciate you taking the time to hop on the podcast today. I'm sure your schedule will be extremely busy, so thank you for being here.
Sure. Thank you very much for having me.
Awesome. So to kick things off, would love to hear just a little bit more about your story and how how you've been working over the past 30 years to be able to work with as one of the leaders at Believe.
Well, I don't think I could have done anything else but music to start with. It's a passion to start with, and I discovered 30 years ago that I could turn that passion into a business, into a job. And I discovered that music was not only about being able to play guitars or to sing or to write songs, but also it's an industry. And artists, to become who they are, where they are, and to reach their audiences and to build a career, they actually need people like us. It's been quite a journey in almost 30 years, because obviously the market has been completely renewed and disrupted, and the way to discover artists, to produce music, to bring music to the fans are completely changed. Probably it's one of the industry that has been the most disrupted over the past 20 years, but the one thing has never changed. And it's always have been about, and for me personally, but in general, about making the best music as you can, and propose and expose that music and bring that music to the world and to the audiences. So what we're trying to do, I believe, is pretty simple in the vision and in the meaning, but it's really complicated when it comes to reality and how do we operate it. But basically, the mission is very simple, is be able to work and to bring the right level of services to any given artist or label around the world, to help him navigate into the digital world, to help him understanding where the market's going, to help him or there to understand how they should reach their audiences, how they leverage data, how they should spend their money, etc. But again, we want them to do the best music as they can. So we build an infrastructure and teams in France to start with, and then in 50 countries to have people on the ground. Because there's not a lot that we can do if we don't understand the markets, if we don't understand the artist community, if we don't build trust, if we don't understand their needs. So the first question I always ask an artist or label when I'm in a meeting, say, all right, how are you organized? What can you do? What can't you do? What are you doing well? What do you think you can do better? Asking all those questions help me to understand how we can serve them. And then, depending on all those conversations, bringing them to the right team, to the right level of services, to the right contract, to build a relationship that would make sense for them and for us, so we can grow together. So one of the things I usually said is that we're actually entrepreneur helping other entrepreneur, because what I've changed in our world is also that those labels and artists, they are actually in charge of their destiny. You know, they are entrepreneur themselves. The rise of the independent artist community or the independent label is possible because suddenly people like us and DSPs and platforms such as YouTube and Spotify can make the link between them and their audiences in a much more comprehensive, faster, direct, transparent, and hopefully, this is what we try to do, respectful way. And connecting again those artists and bring their music to the audiences. So that's what we were trying to do, what we are still doing day in, day out since 20 years, because it's the 20th years of Believe this year. So it's been quite a long journey. The good thing is that there's never been as many interesting music everywhere in the world. That music travels much more today than it used to 20 years ago, thanks to people like us, thanks to the digital, thanks to the audiences and the platforms and the DSP. And so that creates a lot of opportunities. And that creates a lot of opportunities for a new generation of artists and a new tiers of artists and label. Because before, it was really much about the top 10 and the top 50 and the top 200 billboards. All its equivalent everywhere in the world. No, there's a new generation of artists that are, below those big hits that can exist thanks to people like us and thanks to, more direct relationship with the platforms. But the goal is to bring as many of them in the top 200, in the top 10. And that's what we're trying to do. So it's a mix and a right combination between understanding the market and the needs of the artist, leveraging the technology and the unique relationship we have with the DSPs, and putting the right teams with the right expertise to serve the artist and the label to navigate and to grow their businesses and their audiences. So it's not about selling music to start with. It's about identifying the right audience, engage conversation with that audience, and build an audience. And if you do this, well, ultimately, they're going to consume your music, you're going to sell your music, you're going to sell ticket concerts, you're going to sell merchandising, and you're going to develop your career.
Mm. Good stuff. Awesome. So it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, never before has it been easier for an artist to directly connect with their fans because of tools like the internet, because of the distribution channels that are available. And what used to be sort of gatekeepers, and there was maybe just a few channels, Now it's like, it's possible to connect directly with those fans. And what you focus on primarily is helping empower these independent artists and labels to be able to reach their fans directly and streamlining that connection, which there's more transparency now than there ever has been as well. I'm curious, from your experience, I mean, you've been doing this for 30 years now, which is incredible. And it, the way I look at it too is like, I don't know, like you must be doing something well. if you've had that long lasting, because things evolve and they change rapidly. And so you don't stick around for 30 years unless you actually have some strong roots and you're willing to adapt and kind of grow. And so I'm curious from your perspective, having probably witnessed quite a few of these different waves and changes and revolutions where things have evolved in the music industry in particular. What are some of the biggest challenges of this current era that you see right now? And I'm especially curious in like perspective to previous challenges that we've gone through in the past. Like, what are some of the similar the challenges that you think are always sort of like fundamental challenges versus maybe unique challenges that are arising because of the era that we're in right now as well?
I think probably the first one is to emerge, because and that's pretty much the other side of the same coin of what I was just describing. Like, beforehand, very few artists had the chance to be signed as the chance to go on TV, as the chance to be played on radio, right? Very few. Right now, a lot more have access again to these audiences. And if you look at the numbers and the stats, there's never been as many artists making a living out of their music in 24, which was even more than in 23, more in 22. And this is continuing like this. So this is a good thing. What does that mean as well? And that's the other side. And that there's never been as many content, as many artists, as many music, as many songs being distributed to the platforms every single day. And I think the challenge, but as before, is to find the right artist, to find the right talent, and to find the right way to actually help them to surface, and what we said, to cut to the noise and to reach an audience. For me, again, it has to start with music, because marketing and promotion, audiences, connection, this is great, but it's only going to work if you have something to propose, something that will touch and reach the people and the communities and the audiences. So it has to start by the good songs, by the good storytelling, by the good positioning. Because don't get me wrong, being an artist is complicated. Being an artist is complicated. You have to produce your song. You have to find your audiences. You have to have something to say. You have to live the life of an artist, which is very difficult. It's a particular job, so it's about talent, and it's about of being focused on what you want to be as an artist and what you want to achieve as an artist. And I think the challenge is there. It's to understand who the artist is behind the songs or through the songs, so that we can build the right storytelling and the right approach and the right campaign to bring that music to the audiences. You can start very, very small. That's not the point here. But if you don't have something to say, and if you don't understand how it works within that world, which is global, because digital is global, because DSPs has just cut the boundaries from one country to another. Again, music is traveling faster than ever. And we see genres of music pumping up in some regions coming from the other side of the globe. We've seen that with K-pop. We are currently seeing that a lot within Believe with the Punjabi music from South India that is resonating a lot in Canada and North America because of the diaspora there and the new generations of artists that are actually recording Punjabi music and reaching audiences as well. So, but I think this is definitely the number one challenge. The second challenge for me is that you need to have the right partners to help you understanding that world, because it gives a lot more opportunity than before, but it's a much more complicated world. You have to understand how TikTok works, which is very different from Spotify, which is very different from YouTube. So you have to understand the mechanism. You have to understand how to reach the audiences. What type of content do you want to publish? What type of content you want to distribute? At what pace? And look at the signals, analyzing the data. That's our job. We don't ask the artist to do this, but we're here to understand, analyzing the data, to tell him, hey, something's happening on that track. We need to push. Something's happening in this country, you need to spend more time, or you need to build a show there. You need to connect with your fans locally as opposed to connect to them online, and both are very complementary. So it's really about navigating into that world and being able to push when it matters, to go to the next step. Because artist development is the most complicated part of our job, because a lot of artists have hits. Some of them will transform into album sales, but how many of them will build a career? This is what we're talking about here. Building a career is the grail, and this is what we are here for, you know. And that journey with the artist, starting from whatever level he starts, but helping them to go to the next one, to reach a more faithful, engaged, local, regional, then global audience. This is also I think the challenge. The good thing, again, here is that I think we have a much stronger view of what's happening, because before we didn't know who we were buying the CDs at HMV or at Target, right? We didn't know, or at Virgin Records. We know much more about how those people are and how they are discovering music, sharing music, consuming music, liking music. We have a lot of insight. We have a lot of data. And it's also about how do we leverage this? How do we take all those insight and that knowledge to better understand, again, how do we connect the artist's artistic proposition or who he is to an audience? Those are, I think, the challenges. The other thing, I think, to complete the answer, is that I see a lot of opportunity, because we see the emerging of again local artists much more. Like beforehand, it was very much about global stars traveling the world and reaching global audiences. No, it's about local artists, local scene that are providing the diversity of the music as well. It's not only about pop only anymore. It's about dance and electronic. It's about metal. It's about classical. It's about Punjabi in India. It's about K-pop or country in the US. So it's also having those genres and those local scenes and artists to reach their local audiences, to then to become more global, which digital helps. But again, it's all about emerging from that ocean of content, because ultimately you don't build a career if you don't connect to the fan, and if you don't have something special compared to the other artist. And so this is what we're trying to do, and this is how we're trying to help the artist to navigate.
Awesome. There's so much good stuff there. So it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, it starts with the core of the music and the song. Because if you don't have a product or something that's special or valuable, then, you know, that's kind of the foundation of the business model of connecting with the fans. So, you know, that's always, you know, been at the core of, you know, 30 years ago, 20, like now, like it's like still that product is like kind of at the key. And then now, and it's always been about, you know, connecting it with the right people. It's just the methods through which you connect, you know, the music with the people have evolved.
And so exactly. Now
the channels have opened up. It's, you can use the internet, but it leads to another challenge where there's so much music. There's, you know, it can be more challenging to cut through the noise and connect with those right people. And so when you're working with, you know, a campaign, really it's about identifying, like, what is it about this music that's unique, that's special? Who's the audience that's going to resonate most with it? How do we build that connection?
Exactly. Because ultimately, the song or an album or a video or a live performance for an artist is the door of entry for a fan or for an audience to connect with the artist. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's all about the content. Very often I say content is king, because if you don't have content, there's no way you can connect with the audience, and you need to entertain that conversation, you know, and to keep that conversation alive. So it's about feeding the audiences with the right content at the right time, with the right format, on the right platforms, but with a story to tell. You know, it needs to mean something. You know, marketing is only an accelerator. Marketing accelerates your reach. Accelerate the reach. But if you don't build some sort of an organic audience with an artistic proposition, and you only push the button of the marketing, then there's lots of chances that you're going to push with no impact. So you need to build the organic relationship with the audiences. And also what has changed a lot is that if you think about it, before you needed a producer. You needed to go on a media you needed to go on stage and to have your records in the shops, right? So there was a lot of intermediaries. Now, with the social networks and with that world, artists connect with their fans, and they can connect with their fans instantly through social networks. So they can have conversation with their fans directly. You know, they post directly on their Instagram or on their YouTube channels or on the TikTok channel, whatever it may be, but they connect to their fans. So I think this is also a very powerful way to for the fans to feel that he's special and to feel that he has a specific connection with the artist, as before a media needed to make the decision to have an art, to host an artist on a TV show, or to host an artist on a radio show, or to enter a song to his playlist. And so we still need to do this, because the new playlists are the Spotify playlist and the Apple Music playlist. But nevertheless, you know, you can subscribe to your favorite artist on his Spotify profile or on his YouTube channel or an Instagram account or his TikTok account. As of before, you couldn't do this. So I think building that relationship is very important. So you need to have the right balance between a lot of content and not too much. So you also need to make sure you do that at the right pace. And that really depends on which artist you are dealing with. You know, we have the two biggest hip hop artists in France, probably of the last decades, are with us. One is Jul, the other is PNL. Jul is probably is the most prolific artist I've ever seen, and probably that nobody has ever seen in the music industry. We're talking almost 30 albums in 10 years. Nobody has done that. Probably the Beatles didn't split, you know, they probably would have done that because they've done 10 albums in 10 years. So one album a year. But that guy releases 2 to 3, maybe sometimes 4 albums a year. So his strategy here is to feed the audiences a lot, to keep them engaged and to keep them excited, right? PNL is the other way around. PNL are super rare. It's one album every 4 years, no interview, no media, no collaboration. So they create a huge awareness, a huge desire for new music. So every time they release something, it does bang. So those are complete different strategy. So there's no good or bad. And actually, both of those different strategy work super, super well because they're multi platinum sellers, right? But it's a different approach. And it's also part of who they are and how to want to, what type of story they want to build and how they want to, they want to connect with their fans. So our job is also to understand who the artist is and how should we connect to the fans better in being very close to who he is, because the fans, they know. There's not a lot that you can hide from the fans anymore because of all the social networks and everything. This is also a big difference. So you need to be consistent. And I think you need to, and even if sometimes this is story, you know, you build yourself a character and it's probably not who you are in your real life. That doesn't matter. What matters is that characters will connect to the fans. So I think this is a super exciting time. There's never been again as many independent artists that are reaching an audience, making a career, making a living out of their music. But there's still a lot of challenges ahead of us. It's about keeping that opportunity for the independent scene to be able to continue to develop themselves. And I think this is the mission that we have. It's always going to be about helping the independent artist, the independent label, diversity, and local artists from Thailand to Mexico, from Germany to Brazil, from New Zealand to Africa, to connect with their fans and help them to suddenly, you know, reach their audiences and do what they have to do, make the best music as possible, and leave the rest with us.
Mm. Awesome. So good. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, fundamentally, like, the core of this is helping artists connect with their fans and build communities, and the relationship is sort of the most important thing. And, you know, the artist might have different, they're different humans. They have different expressions. So the way that they show up, the way that they put their music out might be completely different. You know, someone that puts it out regularly versus less regularly. But the most important thing is building you know, that sync between the artist and the product, the music and their fans. That one interesting part that you've come back to a few times is around the importance of the story and the narrative and being able to communicate that and share it so that there's a point behind the artist's movement and their community and their music. I'd love to hear you share a little bit more about that in terms of, I think for a lot of artists, especially like the community here who might be a bit earlier on and sort of developing their artist identity, they might be wondering, what is my story? And do I have a unique story? And what is that? And how can I create a bigger mission or movement or, you know, behind my music? Could you share a little bit more when you are working with an artist and you're trying to kind of, maybe they're like a block of ice and you're trying to chip away and kind of get to like that story that is who they are, but also it's like, you know, it's compelling. How do you usually start?
To listen to their music and to listen what they have to say. I think you learn a lot from an artist on who he is. Why is he an artist? Why he wants to say in his album, in his project. So in spending a lot of time with them. Most of the time, the person that knows the best what to do is the artist himself. And that's why I love about them. And that's why I love working with artists in 30 years. Because again, being an artist is one of a kind, you know, there's not a lot of jobs like this, or being an actor, you know, on all the, cultural and industry, but being an artist is exposing yourself, is taking risk, is taking bets, is offering yourself to the audiences, you know, being on stage in front of 10 people or 80,000 people in a stadium is taking a risk, you know, is to connect with the audiences, but it also giving access to who you are. So I think the more I spend time with the artists, the more I understand who they are. I'm also spending I'm a big believer, and it's not necessarily the case for in every music genre, but I think songwriting is also very important. Listening to what the artist has to say, you have a lot of answers in their songs. And even if it's a love songs, you know, there's millions of love songs, but you always tell the same story in a different way. So it tells a lot about who you are. And then it's about understanding their ambition. We represent a lot of artists, some of them on TuneCore. We acquired TuneCore back in 2015, are very self-released as artists and DIY artists. And some of them are not completely professional. You know, there are smaller artists and they don't necessarily make a living out of their music. So they may have a second job, but still it's about their creativity. And it's about trying to connect, what they do to the audiences. And so the more you understand who they are, what they write about, and what are their goals, then the better you can help them. We've been conducting some surveys and not studies, but to know our TuneCore artists better. And the first thing is, all right, okay, do you want really be professional, or is it something that you do a little bit of music here, but you do something else? If they're professional, the next question is, all right, how can we help you? And so understand who they are and how we can help them is going back to what I said earlier, is understand what can they do and what can't they do. And their needs is very different. Some of them actually needs help to be connected with other artists to produce music. Some others needs to understand how to build their social networks. Some of them needs to find ways to connect with media. Some of them to navigate with uploading content, to do a video, to etc. So you need to understand their needs. You need to understand who they are about, and depending on this, what should be the first audiences you want to connect them with. And to connect with that audience, you have multiple access. Because again, before a few radio, a few TVs, right now hundreds of ways. Because the audience is there, and you can create yourself a social network that reach people in a few weeks, in a few months. So it's really about this, And what do you want to tell to your audience on who you are? Because it's about the music, but it's also about what do you stand for, you know? And I think the audiences are connecting with the bands also because of what they are standing for. You fall in love with reggae because it's a cool music to dance with, but also it's the Rastafari things. You go along with jazz because jazz is probably, for me, with classical music, the most complicated exigent music in the world, because the skills to play jazz or improvisation, which is a big part of jazz, is there. So though most of the time those are artists that are working a lot. Hip-hop, you know, or punk music are music that started in the street, because those guys have something to say. They had something to say about what's happening in the society, with the politics, with the economy, with the relationship, with the injustice, with the etc. So the punk music and hip-hop music are music movement, but are also music that are representing a generation, representing what's happening in the world, or what's happening in a city, or what's happening in a country, what's happening with the community. And so if you understand this, well, let's connect them to the same community, because there's a good chance that people that have actually went through the same kind of experience as you as an artist, not on your artist life, but on your own life, will connect to the music, because what you're saying, they actually lived it. So how do we make that happen? So again, spending time with the artist for me is super important. And I've been doing this since 30 years, and I'm learning every day.
Mm. Awesome. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that, you know, this part of it in particular is kind of like the art, where you can't really manufacture in a way that is like separate from the core of like of who they are and the situation that they're in. And so your approach is actually more to be a listener and to approach and let the artist be able to share who they are, and to, you know, that ultimately will come from, you know, generational, like their culture, who they are, how they were raised, you know, the issues that are coming up for them. And that's probably where their music will come from as well. And yeah, from that point on, it's really about connecting them with those pockets of people that can resonate with that similar, you know, culture or story. And so it's not as much so something like to try to invent as so much as it is to like look within and sort of, you know, figure out what are those aspects of what you're expressing naturally that we can bring together with the right people who need to hear that message. Cool. So yeah, I'm curious to hear your perspective on, yeah, as someone that has been doing this for like, you know, 30 years, and you've seen things come and go, right now, because of the rise of digital networks and the ability for an artist to directly connect with their fans, I'm curious we're getting at a little bit of like theory now. So this is sort of like, this hasn't happened yet. So this is, we're talking about like predictions. So of course, like people plan and God laughs is the phrase for it. But like from your perspective, what are some of the waves that are happening right now that you think are a unique opportunity for artists to pay attention to, like what's happening, to be able to swim along with it, try to catch the wave as it hits? I'm curious, like, where do you think the next 5 to 10 years of the music industry is headed, and how someone that is an independent artist or independent record label right now and that wants to be able to, you know, surf that wave should focus?
It's a good question. I'm not sure I have the perfect answer to this, but I think ultimately it's always going to be about willing to be an artist, being capable of being creative, understanding the world they're in, because you can't be an artist today as you used to be 20 years ago, and probably in 10 to 20 years it's going to be different as well, in the way, again, to connect to your fans. But one interesting thing is that, again, I think the big wave that I see compared to decades is the growth of the local scenes. If you look at the markets, most of the top 10 markets are actually, and the growth of those local markets are actually driven by local artists and by the local independent artist scenes and labels. Why? Because suddenly having the opportunity to being distributed worldwide for less money and less risk than before, connect to your fans directly, having access through people like us, through a lot of knowledge on the market and marketing investment, funding, and things like that, opens a lot of doors for a lot of artists. So I think the wave that is creating much more career than before. One of the challenge is, again, apart from cutting to the noise, is that the level of monetization for those local artists in some of the emerging market is existing. If we look at how the market has been evolving and grew over the years, it's almost always the same. It starts with the scene in the digital world. It starts with the scenes. It starts with the level of equipment, with a phone, with a computer and something to have access to the music. It starts about building a business that goes from to a paid subscription model, because this is where most of the value is. And then it's about connecting to your audiences. But that allows a lot of new scenes and new genres and new artists to emerge. We're in the beginning in APAC of that, because the level of penetration and the level of subscription is still very low, and those are not mature markets. Even in France, this is not a mature market. You know, we're talking barely 20 million subscriptions. We're almost 70 million people. So if I Africa, for example, Africa is by definition a music continent. There's a lot of music everywhere. Still, it's not monetizing. And still, there's no proper, well-organized collecting society when you're a writer, as you can find in the US or Western Europe. So I think one of the ways is to continue to help that ecosystem to evolve, to begin to structure itself, and that's a lot what we do, because when we open a country, we put people on the ground, and of course we're here to find artists to help them cutting to the noise, reach the audience, everything I just discussed. But we also help them to understand the market and structure themselves, and to understand how does that work, because it's different when you write your own song, when you don't write your own song. And that's also why, you know, we bought Centric 3 years ago. We bought Centric as is now becoming our publishing arms, and we're trying to connect the writers to the artists as well, because not everyone can be a good songwriter, and so sometimes they need songs or production from others. So I think connecting the dots, and because now again the game field is global, is also a way for more artists to embrace that career, more artists to connect with more other artists to produce more and better music, and more local artists to connect with the local fans. And at some point, being at the right level so they can become regional or become global stars, reaching a more global audience. So the wave is about this. And I think we have a responsibility as an industry, and that's part of the challenge and the mission that we have, to help that ecosystem to continue to grow, to continue to become more about local artists, and to continue to be a lot about diversity as well. I'm listening a lot of music, and I think having dozens and dozens of various genres of music is priceless. That means something. So we need to make sure the industry we're building is going to be able to capture that and to protect this. You know, we want the music to be as diverse as possible. And we want local artists to have a chance to emerge locally and then to emerge globally. And I think that's what I see. And again, if you take local scene, access to the public, people as us that are providing distribution, funding, expertise, people to talk to navigate, and the digital platforms and the DSP, which makes the music much more affordable and much more accessible, then suddenly you have a fantastic equation that you didn't have before for all of those artists to emerge. So I don't think we are at the end of the wave. I think we're in the beginning of the wave. And every data we're looking at and numbers that we're looking at is showing us that there's a lot of growth ahead of us. We're just in the beginning of it. So again, because there's a lot of people that are still not connected to digital world, not having a subscription on Apple, on YouTube, or on Spotify. I think those DSP, they're still in the beginning also on their subscription model, on making more music, more value to the music. If you compare the audio DSP world to the audiovisual DSP world, let's compare Spotify to Netflix, for example. Well, Netflix has been super, super smart in playing with the price of the subscriptions, in having tiers and stuff. And they're bringing a lot more value to it because the subscription is high. So I think there's also a responsibility coming from us and coming from the DSP to also bring more value or explain that music has a real value. And if we do this, that's going to be more value that we can reinvest in the artist, in the creation, in making music, in making good albums, in developing those artists. So I think it's a very virtual circle, and we're trying to participate to this. And I think we do pretty well. You know, we grow very, very fast over the past 20 years. When I joined Believe 17 years ago, we were 10, and we are 2,000 plus right now. And we were in one country. We were in 50 countries. We have tremendous results on local and global stars. And one example, you know, 2 years ago, we started to work with a small label called in Spain with an artist called Inigo Quintero. He had made 3 songs with his guitar and his keyboard in his room, bedroom producer, bedroom artist. A year and a half after, he was number one Spotify worldwide. I don't think it could have happened in the old world. I think what happened here is that we spend a lot of time on understanding how we can grow those audiences and how we can bring that music, and investing at the right time on the right services in the right country, looking at the data as on, hey, this starts to happen in Spain and then in Latam and then in France and then in Germany and then in Holland, and suddenly it became global. So those success stories are possible because you understand what's happening, and you connect that music to the fans, and so we're only in the beginning of this. We're going to see more independent artists living out of their music, becoming global stars. We're going to see more genres of music coming from various places in the world to travel and to reach other audiences than from their own country. And I don't think we're going to find new ways to expose artists. You know, if you think about it, TikTok was not even a real thing for music 5, 6, 7 years ago. So in that time frame, they became very, very important to connect with the fans and to then transform into stream into audiences. So are they going to be a next TikTok? I don't know, but yet. But I think we are very in the beginning of understanding everything that we can do. But it's always going to be also about making good music. So I think that's what I foresee, and that's really the mission that we have.
Super exciting! What a time to be alive! You know, in the midst of this, like, revolution with the music industry and the internet and social media, and now, I mean, we didn't even have a chance to, like, go deep on AI and some of this new, like, generative intelligence, but Romain, man, it's been great connecting with you, and really appreciate you coming on here live to share your perspective over the past 30 years working with artists. And in terms of artists who are listening to this right now, or record labels, or folks who are interested in connecting more with Believe or diving deeper, where can they go to connect more?
Where can you go? No,
yeah,
sorry.
If someone who's listening to the podcast right now, if they want to go check out Believe.
Sure. Connect. Yeah, of course. Well, they should go on believe.com, and then they'll be redirected in their own country, and they can find us well. And they will look at also, either they can connect with us directly, or they can look at who are the labels we work with, so they can connect with those labels as well. And also... very, very good way to start is to go on TuneCore. You know, it's a very simple way to start distributing yourself, having access to datas. And we'll look at those datas, and we'll look at what's happening on their content day in, day out. And at some point, you know, if they do well, they receive a call from us with the key questions about how can you help you more? How can you... help you more to become a bigger artist, to reach more people with your music. So I would I think it's a good starting point, probably.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh man, I just can't believe.com is such a great domain.
Yes, believe it or not, but I think it's a great name. Very simple, very, very, very direct. I agree. Yeah. But thanks. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. And you know, for I just want to say thank you for also one thing I really appreciate about this conversation, and I think this is probably, you know, in part due to the 30 plus years that you've been doing this, is it seems clear how important, and I think everyone that's listening to this as an artist can take away value from just this, like, you know, behavior of focusing on the roots of connecting and understanding and listening. And it seems like that's part of the reason that you've been able to build such a great root system to help these artists thrive, is because you really care about listening and understanding and asking questions, getting to know them. So I think that's probably something all of us can learn from as well, as it relates to building a relationship with any of the key players, like for an artist with their fans, having conversations with them, connecting with them, listening to them, seeing, yeah, how can they serve? So, yeah, thanks for doing what you do, and looking forward to connecting more.
Thank you very much.